Bibles open at, I'm going to preach from Isaiah 62 today. So if you've got your Bibles with you, keep them open at Isaiah 62. And we're going with a theme at the moment of that heart that we have and that vision that we have here at St. Mary's of every person and every place saturated with God. And that looks like something. So we've been unpacking what it looks like to have a life saturated with God. And I'm going to be speaking today about having a life saturated with prayer. That to be saturated with God is to be a person who is saturated with prayer. So I'm today not so much going to be giving us three steps to a great prayer meeting or anything like that, but I'm speaking about the heart of prayer and a call to prayer, really, for us as a church, that if we really want to see our whole community saturated with the presence of God, if we want to see our people we know and love to know that presence of Jesus in their lives, then we need to be people who pray. We need to be a church that knows what it is to be in that intimate place, that powerful place, that wonderful, amazing place of prayer. Are we a praying people? If we want to be saturated with God, we need to be saturated with prayer. And every revival is always birthed from this place of prayer. Every move of God that we see, every heart that is changed is birthed from this place of someone somewhere praying and bending the knee before God. Arthur Willis put at the heart of every revival is the spirit of prayer. Is someone bending the knee? Is someone saying, I'm going to set my heart, my life, my face to prayer? D.L. Moody put it like this, that behind every great movement, there is a kneeling figure. Behind every movement of God, there is someone bending the knee and praying. And I wonder, how are we doing? Are we so busy just looking around saying, we wish God would be here. I wish God would move there. We need to be people who pray, who stand on these walls like Isaiah speaks about. So are we going to be a people saturated with prayer, longing for the move of God to come upon our community and the people we know and we love? Because we, the church, are these watchmen on this wall that we've heard about in Isaiah 62 today. We are these people crying out to God for people we know and love, for our communities. We are to be those people who are crying out for God to move upon our nation, to move upon our community again. We are, if you like, the kneeling figures of this community. We're the kneeling figures of our family. And God is calling us, the bride of Christ, to a not even a season, but a life of prayer. Are we marked by prayer? Are we known as better than people who pray? We need to be a people who are saturated with prayer. So this book in Isaiah, I love it because it speaks about a redemption. It speaks about a turning around, that you're no longer going to be called deserted, but that you're going to be beautiful. So we see Isaiah prophesying in a time where Jerusalem is still functioning. It's still doing all right, but it's spiritually corrupt. But he's prophesying into a time where the Babylonian armies are going to take over and it's going to be desolate. It's going to be broken. And through Isaiah, God is speaking such comfort and such love and assurance over Jerusalem that he will not rest, God is saying. I will not rest until I see you come to your full redemption. He speaks of that you'll be called by a new name. There's going to be transformation over Jerusalem, and that God will crown her with a wonderful crown of glory. And throughout this scripture today, I don't know about you, but I can just see the character of God over Jerusalem. He loves them. He wants to pour out his redemption over them, his restoration over them. He has such delight in them. He speaks of making a covenant towards them like a bridegroom makes with his bride. Such a covenant of love. He says, I will rejoice over you. And he's setting people on the walls of Jerusalem to seek that same transformation, to come into a line with what God is saying over Jerusalem and stand there day and night and be in agreement with God and say, yes, this is not what Jerusalem is, what we currently see, but what God says Jerusalem is going to be. I will stand on that wall and I will intercede, I will pray, and I will seek God day and night. And this reading in Isaiah, I think, points to a time in which we're living in now, where full redemption has come. Jesus has come amongst us, hasn't he? He has come to set the captive free. He has come to take the dead person, spiritually dead, and make them spiritually alive. And we stand on the walls of people's lives, crying out that they might know the restoration and the salvation of Jesus. We stand on the walls of these communities of people we know and love, of people wherever we are at. We stand on those walls crying out that they might be saturated with God, that they might be saturated with the salvation that is offered through that character of our God who loves us. Spurgeon says this about Isaiah 62. A restless Saviour calls upon his people to be restless and to make the Lord himself restless, to give him no rest till his chosen city is in full splendour and his chosen church complete and glorious. We have a restless Saviour. So where we see our community go into eternity without Jesus, where we see those in our family who do not yet know him, we need to know that we have a restless Saviour who is interceding day and night for all of these places where we long to see God saturate. It says in Scripture that he is seated at the right hand of the Father, that our advocate in heaven is Jesus, and he is interceding day and night. And when we pray to him, our prayers are heard in the heavenly places. And I wonder, how are we doing? Are we standing like watchmen on the walls of this community? Are we crying out for the things of God to move here? Are we seeking him in prayer? So to be these watchmen, to pray, we need to be praying with humility. What 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. We need to be a people who humble ourselves to be prayers, to be people who pray. It takes humility to bend our knee and to pray. Proud hearts don't pray. Proud hearts can say, we can do this without God. We can carry on doing what we're doing. We don't need him. But a humble heart knows that what God wants to do in our land, only God can do. And we need to humble ourselves and come before God and to pray to him. Only God can save. If we truly have this vision of every person and every place saturated with God, we cannot do that. Only he can. Only God can save. Only God can restore. Only God can give people new names and new hearts. And we need to be a people that humble our hearts and bend the knee and come and pray before our God in heaven and ask him to do what only he can do. We need to be people who humble ourselves before him. And we need to be people who cry out for the things of God. So often prayer can be a place of where we just want to ask God for things that might make this life more comfortable. And I don't think there's much wrong with that. But ultimately our prayers need to be crying out for God to do what only he can do. Do we have the kingdom vision of God? Do we stand on those walls like in Isaiah 62, knowing what God says over the city? And are we joining in and humbling our hearts to pray what only God would pray for these people? He shows this in Matthew 5 of the sort of prayers that God answers. And he pays attention to the prayers of the meek. He pays attention to the prayers of those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. He pays attention to the prayers of those who mourn. Because these prayers aren't a shopping list of things that might make this life on earth a bit nicer, but these prayers are the prayers that are heart-wrenching, these prayers that say that I want to see your kingdom, God. Those prayers that come from there. Have you heard someone pray like that? They're the sort of prayers God pays attention to. When we humble ourselves and pray what God would pray. We need to be a people who pray with faith and pray with perseverance. We need to be people who have faith for the things of God. This prophecy in Isaiah is speaking about this is what God will do. If I heard this come out of a prophet's mouth, I would want to pray in line with what God does. Not what we can do, but what God does. So we need to be people who come in prayer knowing and having faith in the things that only God can do. It says in Matthew 17 that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, for nothing is impossible for you. Faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain. And so often when we think we need faith to pray, we need to churn up some kind of big faith to see big results. But what Jesus is saying here, that even a little faith can create something big. He's saying that the formula for faith is not the size of it. To see great things of God is not the size of your faith, but the one in whom you have faith in. It's not the power in the formula, but it's the faith in the power of God. The size of a mustard seed can move a mountain. But we are called to have faith in a powerful God, a God who has promises over us. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, put it like this when talking about praying with faith. He says, the issue is not greater faith, but faith in a great God. Do we have faith in a great God who redeems people and restores people, changes things, brings his kingdom here on earth? So it's not about trying to stir up more faith, trying to hang around with people and try and get it rubbed off on us some way. But it's having intimacy with the person who is a great God, who does things, who moves when we pray. So when we pray for salvations, when we pray for this saturation of God, we must turn our face to the faithfulness of God, who has displayed his faithfulness throughout scripture and throughout history. That's why I love to read stories of revivals. It speaks of a desolate land of where God was not moving, yet someone read the Holy Bible and said, I believe in these promises, God, and I'm going to pray for this to come around. Someone once said to me, when I asked for advice on how to pray, how do I pray those prayers that God would want me to pray? And he simply said, before you speak to God, have you allowed him to speak to you? That we come before God in prayer, but we open our Bibles and we allow the promises of God to speak to us. And our prayers are shaped around what God says, not what we see. Prayer is about abiding in God, knowing his word and knowing what he says over communities, that we might begin to pray what God would pray. He says this in John 15, that if you abide in me and I in you, you can ask anything in my name and it will be given to you. This is talking about a closeness and intimacy of prayer with Jesus, that we know his heart so much that we're literally praying the things that Jesus would pray over our communities, over our place, wherever we might be, watchmen on the walls. And I wonder, do we know what Jesus would pray? Can we hear what God would say? And finally, I just want to speak about praying with perseverance. I love this picture of these watchmen on the wall. It says in verse 6, I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourself no rest. They are watchmen on the wall, crying out day and night. There's a perseverance of prayer, a prevailing of prayer, that they will not stop until God comes. I wonder, what are you praying for today, that you will not stop until God comes? We need to be a people who prevail in prayer for this town, that we will not stop until God comes. We will not cease, we will not be silent, because we love this town so much. The beginning of Isaiah 62, if it's for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. Do you love this town? Do you love the people who are in your life, that you will not remain silent? For their sake, I will prevail in prayer, and I will not stop until God shows up. So often we want a drive-through McDonald's answer to prayer. The pastor prayed for me. I popped in a prayer meeting. I shot a prayer up to heaven. But so often God wants us to prevail in prayer, to cry out for the things of him, and to not silence ourselves until he turns up. It says this in the New Testament, to rejoice always and pray continually. To rejoice always and pray continually. We need to keep going, even when the signs around us show that nothing is happening. Have you ever had that? When you've turned your face to prayer and things seem to get worse than better. Crime rates seem worse. People get sicker. But God is saying, prevail. Keep praying. Keep going. We see this this narrative in scripture of people who see things that are desolate and deserted, but yet God calls them to see what he is doing. We see Abraham looked at a barren Sarah and saw Isaac. Then he looked at Isaac and he saw a whole nation. Joshua and Caleb were warned that there's giants in that land, but they placed their faith in what God could do. David saw tiny stones, but trusted God for a major victory. Simeon saw nothing. For 400 years, there was only silence from heaven. Yet he saw in the face of a tiny baby, he saw the coming of the Messiah. God himself saw just a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread, yet saw a banquet. It's in these small, unseen sometimes things that we, if we pray and we turn our face to Jesus, we can see a breakout of his kingdom and his beauty in so amazing ways. So we need to pray, and we need to prevail in prayer to see what only God can do. We see this with Elijah, and he was a man of great faith in a time of persecution. And in 2 Kings, that he's just had the victory against the prophets of Baal, you know, where God has really shown up. And it says that Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah, what did he do? Elijah climbed to the top of the mountain, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Elijah was believing more for just a momentary miracle. Elijah was believing for the rains to come down and to drench the land. Yet all he could see was blue skies and no clouds. Yet he bent down, put his head between his knees, and he prayed. And he believed for God to send the rain. And we too can be disheartened when we see the horizons of those that we pray for, where there's no sign of God moving. And I believe in this season as a church, we're being called to be like Elijah's, to place our head between our knees and pray for the rain of heaven, to pray for the move of God, to not look at what we can see, but to pray to what God says, what God has promised over us. I have this story, I'll share it briefly. But we need to be people who stand like these watchmen on the walls, believing for God to move. And he's asking and calling us to not give up. I had someone pray for me throughout my whole life. She came to my baptism as a young child, and she saw that I was being baptized. She knew my family at the time. She was a Christian, knew that that my parents were not even Christians, didn't fully understand why they baptized in this child, but went ahead with it anyway. And she set her face and felt God say, I want you to pray for this young baby. And this woman had prayed for me for 23 years. Continually prayed that I might come to know Jesus. And she spoke about there was times when I thought, Lydia, it would never happen. Some of you know my story that I fell into lots of dreadful things during my teenage years. And she got to watch all of these seasons in my life. Yet, she prevailed in prayer. I got to meet her when I later become a Christian. And she spoke about how she pressed into prayer for me. She spoke the promises of God over my life. She was that kneeling figure, if you like, over my life. And I believe God is calling us to pray, to humble ourselves, to bow the knee, and to only pray for the things that God can do over people. He's asking us to prevail in prayer over this town, over the people we know, and over those in whom have not yet known this wonderful salvation of Jesus. So I'm going to finish by, how do we pray? How do we pray prayers like this? Well, it's not going to be taught from the pulpit. It's not going to be taught even from a book. It's going to be taught by praying, by coming amongst other people who pray. I remember from when I read books on prayer when I first became a Christian, I thought prayer had to be a very structured, academic, educated thing. And then I went along to a prayer meeting full of intercessors who were crying out for our community at the time. And that's where I learned the art of prayer. That's where I learned what it is to really bow the knee and humble yourself before God and ask for the things that only he can do. It's the first time where I heard someone cry in prayer, to cry out, to draw tears for the community. If you want to learn how to pray, find people who pray and hang out with them. Join in with their prayer. Come to the prayer meeting. That's where we learn to pray, is with one another. So I want to encourage us to join with others who are on the walls. Pray with them. Listen to them. Join in with them. Intercede with them. Pray with them. Cry out with them for our city. And finally, is that we don't pray alone. We come together as a church family. The early church were devoted to prayer. They came together to pray. And we too never pray alone. There will be times in our lives when we have no prayer to give. It might just be a sigh of the heart or a groan of the spirit, and we have nothing to give. And there's this picture of Moses who was asked to intercede. And we have Aaron and Hur standing either side of him, holding up his arms in intercession. And that's what we're called to as a church, is to hold one another up as we pray for his kingdom to come and for his spirit to do what only his spirit can do. So I want to encourage us to humble ourselves, to bend the knee before God, to have faith in the greatness of God, to read his promises afresh and have faith in his faithfulness and ask him to do it again in our town, in our place. And then we need to have great perseverance. We need to prevail with prayer, to set our faith to not be silent until he comes, until he shows up, until his job is done here on earth. Amen.